Okay, today we're going to Be'ez Hashem finish the first parak of Maseches Klayim. We are up to Parak Aleph, Mishnah Ches. So the Mishnah is going to give us different examples of grafting that we had spoken about in the last Mishnah. We said you're not allowed to graft an Ilan on an Ilan, a Yerek on a Yerek, a Yerek on an Ilan according to the Tanakhama. So we're going to talk about vegetables and trees to vegetables, and then we're going to talk about vegetables to vegetables as well. So meaning the Mishnah, is since it's going to give examples of an Isser of Klayim by grafting vegetables to trees, that's clearly and obviously following the Shita of the Tanakama in the previous Mishnah. Because Rabbi Yehuda had said in the previous Mishnah that there's no Isser of grafting vegetables to trees, so this is clearly following the Shita of the Tanakama. So says the Mishnah, Einotin Yerakos Betoch Sadon Shel Shikma, that you're not allowed to plant vegetables inside the stump of a Shikma tree. What's a Shikma tree? Says the Bartanura, Ilan Te'ena Shagadol Be'erim. It's a fig tree that grows in the forests. So you're not allowed to plant a vegetable inside the sadin of a shikma. Now, if you look at the Bar Tanura, he says sadin shel shikma la'achas shenechtach v'nishru shroshav ba'aretz. It's after you cut the tree and the roots are still in the ground. Nikra sadin. That's when it's called a sadin. Ve'inotin yerek l'tocho davi yerek be'ilan. So we have a stump of a shikma tree. Don't plant vegetables in that stump of the tree. When you get trees cut down, right? The tree service will ask you, do you want to leave a stump or do you want them to destroy the stump, right? So if you leave a stump, you might want to plant vegetables there, so you're not allowed to do that. Ein markivin pegam al gabe kido levana, you're not allowed to graft rue onto kido levana, whatever kido levana is. Apparently that's also an isser of klayim. So rue is a type of herb that has a very strong smell, so you're not allowed to graft it onto a tree. So it's included, that's the isser of klayim. Neshu yarek be'ilan, that's considered to be making a yarek onto an ilan. Ein notin yichur shel te'enu l'toch ha-chatzov. You're not allowed to plant a branch of a fig tree inside of a chatzov. If you look at the Bartanura, what is a chatzov? Min yarek sheshrosh of yordim ba'omek ha'aretz. It's a type of vegetable where the roots go down into the depths of the ground. Biyosha, straight down. Ve'enim notin l'kan ul'kan. They don't veer in either direction. Ubo chisem or tichem Yoshua saretz, and that's how Yoshua set the borders of Eretz Yisrael, meaning it's a great border plant because the roots go all the way straight down and they do not go off to the side, so they don't encroach on one property or the other, they just go straight down. So you're not allowed to plant a yichur shel te'ena into a chatzav sheheim mekero in order to, and why would you do that? Because you might want to do that in order to cool off the chatzav, because the chatzav is a the fig branch apparently has the ability to cool down the chatzav, which apparently is naturally very hot, and maybe that will weaken the sharp taste of the chatzav a little bit. So the fig branch doesn't really bond very well with the chatzav, but you would still put it there in order to take away a little bit of the sharpness of the chatzav. Ein tochvin zmoris shel gefen l'toch avatiach. You're not allowed to put a branch of a grapevine into a watermelon plant. Shateza rekas meimel l'tocho, in the hopes of making the grapevine more juicy, because watermelon is mostly water, right? That's why it's called a watermelon. So even though most of the nutrients it's going to get are from the vine, and it's only going to be juicier as a result of the mixture with the watermelon, that's still called kalayim. Mipneshu ilan biyerek, because that's an example of grafting a tree onto a vegetable, and you're not allowed to do that. Einos and zer delas l'toch hachalamis. You're not allowed to put gourd seed into a mallow plant, shatei mishmarto, so that the mallow plant will protect it. Mineshu yarek biyarek. That's an example of grafting a vegetable onto a vegetable, which we said in the last Mishnah. A vegetable onto a vegetable is going to be problematic. The Tosfos Yom Tov points out, Mineshu shatei mishamarto, he says, Achalamis martiv hazera. The chalamis will moisten the zera v'shomer and protect it, ashe hazera nishrosh ba'aretz, until it takes stronger root in the ground. So it will enable it to take longer root in the, to take better root in the ground. Okay, now Mishnah test. So the Mishnah talks about if you're putting away vegetables in a vineyard, but not because you're trying to plant the vegetables in your vineyard, all you're trying to do is to protect them. So you're burying them in the vineyard in order to protect them in the vineyard. That's the first half of the Mishnah. So what halachos are they considered not to be planted? And then the second part of the Mishnah is how many different minim you need together in order for it to be a violation of klayim. So says the Mishnah, tomein lefes utznonos tachas hagefen. If a person buries turnips or radishes bunches that are, you know, that have a bulb. So he puts the bulbs of the bunch of turnips or radishes, and he buries them in a vineyard under the geffen. If some of the leaves are exposed, most of them, Farshim, say that for most of these halachos, you don't really need olav megulin. It's only for Hilchos Shabbos that we need olav megulin. For the rest of these halachos, even without olav megulin, these halachos are going to apply, even if it's fully buried. But if some of the olav are megulin, eino choshesh, here's what you don't have to worry about. The following are things that are not halachic concerns. Lo mishum klayim, you don't have to worry about an issur of klayim. There is a machlokas rishonim, whether that's only if they never took root, or even if they did take root. The Derech Emunah writes from the Lashon of the Rambam, Shari eino otz rotze b'hashrashasan. It sounds like even if they were mashrish, that even if they did take root, it's not a problem, because your kavana was not for them to take root. You were never interested in them taking root. V'lo mishum shvigas, you also don't have to worry about shmita, meaning this is not a violation of planting during shmita. V'lo mishum maisros, when you take it back out of the ground, you don't have to take maisros from it again, because it's not something that just grew in the ground. That's what the Bartanura points out. Einu chayv la'aser k'shiyidvul shoslam mimakom sheir t'minam. You don't have to take maisros when you pull them out. T'chsiv v'kol maisor aretz mizara aretz v'aylev zriyahi. This is not something that was planted in the ground. V'nital n'bishabbos. And this is why we had to mention that the leaves were exposed. You're allowed to pull them out of the ground on Shabbos. That would only be true if the leaves were exposed. If the leaves were not exposed, you would not be allowed to pull them out of the ground. Why are you allowed to pull them out of the ground on Shabbos? Says the Bartanura, d'ketulushim dam. They're considered to be already detached. Va'ochez bailim hamagulim. The bailim could take that which is revealed, that which is exposed, mutzian, and take them out. V'alvagav the mezes offer me makomo. And even though you're moving around some dirt, tiltul menatzad the tzaruch davar heter ve'en nogeh b'davar aser mutter. When you're doing tiltul menatzad for the sake of that which is mutter, and you're not touching the davar aser, it's mutter. So the davar aser is the dirt. That's the mukta thing. You're moving the dirt, but it's tiltul menatzad because you're not directly moving the dirt. You're not touching the dirt. So that's going to be mutter. You're allowed to pull it out of the ground. It's not a muksa problem, nor is it a kotzer problem. You're not harvesting anything when you pull it out of the ground either. Hazarei achitu sa'ora. So now the second half of the Mishnah. Hazarei achitu sa'ora ka'acha. So if a person plants wheat and barley together, hareza klayim. Tanakam says that is klayim. Rabbi Yudomer einu klayim achu shnei chitim usa'ora uchitu ushtei sa'orim. He says no, it's not going to be klayim unless you have two wheats and barley, or two barley and wheat, o chitos over kosemes, or three different meaning together. What is the basis for Yehuda? Why does Yehuda think that in order to be klayim, it needs to be three different things, that you can't just have two items to be klayim with each other? So that is explained by the Bartanura over here. Achi shnei chitim usaora time of Rabbi Yehuda mishum tchsev sadcha lo sizra klayim v'savr dekarka below zaria below zera lo ikri sada. Pasuk says sadcha lo sizra klayim, and where Rabbi Yehuda assumes that something's only called a sada if something's already planted in it. So it sounds like when you have something that's already a sada, meaning there's already something planted in it, then don't also plant a mixture of different items in it as well. You shouldn't also plant klayim. Bartanura points out, ein halach Rabbi Yehuda, we do not pass like Rabbi Yehuda. The karkafel b'shein ezru karui sada, even a karka that's not planted is called the sada. However, when it comes to a vineyard, it is true that it's not called a vineyard unless there are already grapes planted there. So when it comes to a vineyard, you would need to, in order to violate kilei akerem, it would need, in addition to the grapes, two additional minim that are planted in addition to the grapes, in order for it to be a violation of kilei akerem. Okay, so to quickly summarize, we learned in Mishnah Ches that of the different items of vegetables and fruits that you're not allowed to graft onto each other for, you know, to benefit each other. And then in Mishnah Tes we had two halachos. Number one, we said that if you have turnip or radishes that you're just putting in the ground for storage, then you don't have to worry that it's an issur of klayim, it's not an issur of planting during Shemitah, and you have to take maisos from it, and you're even allowed to pull it out of the ground on Shabbos. And then we had a machlokas, how many different minim need to be planted together in order to violate klayim? Do you need just one and one, or according to Yehuda, no, you need either two and one, or one, one and one, meaning you need something that's already a sada, and then to have klayim on top of that. So that concludes the first parak of Masechus Klayim. Bez Hashem, next time we will pick up with Parak Beis, Mishnah Aruch.